listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Live from the Palais Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can, and producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
Coming up in about 15, 20 minutes from now, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner will stop by. At the top of the hour, Leroy Horde will join us. We'll talk some Dolphins and Michigan football with him. And then at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific today, he did play his college football at Georgia Tech. Now does a great job for the ACC Network. Roddy Jones going to swing by. A lot of big college football games this weekend. We'll chat it all with him. And then I will float out my idea that I had yesterday to Roddy Jones, since he is a Georgia Tech alumnus. Now, personally, I would like to see Deion Sanders be coaching in the SEC next year. But you have heard Georgia Tech, who's in the ACC, potentially interested in Deion Sanders. So I'll see where the interest level is from one Roddy Jones. It is a Take 5 Wednesday, so later on in the program, we will obviously give you our top five teams in college football and the NFL. I got to start the show off today, and really, it is kind of like a yearly tradition. I didn't expect we were going to have the conversation this early, or you may have thought that we weren't going to have this conversation at all this year because the guy just got a contract extension. However, with the outs in the contract and the way that the dead cap is structured, it's very easy for the Las Vegas Raiders to get out of this Derek Carr contract. Now, on the surface, you saw he just got a three-year extension for $121.5 million, ties him up in Las Vegas through the 2025 season. At that point, he'll be 34-35. You're probably sitting back saying, Zach, why are we having this conversation? But I'll say this right out of the gate. I do not anticipate Derek Carr to see the end of that contract in Las Vegas. And you look at some of the wording of that contract and you really delve into it and decipher through the contract. This is via Pro Football Network. If the Raiders release Carr after the end of this season, they will be left with just $5.6 million in dead cap money for 2023. The only caveat to that is if Carr gets injured in the 2022 season, this one, the remaining $40 million is guaranteed for injury. Now, if the Raiders don't release Carr ahead of February 15, 2023, they will be committing $32.9 million in base salary in the 2023 season. They will also be committing to $7.5 million of his 2024 salary. However, the Raiders could still move on from Carr after the 2023 season. They would be left with around $11 million in dead money in 2024. So here's the thing with Derek Carr. He is a good quarterback. He's not a horrible quarterback. He's not an average quarterback. But I don't look at Derek Carr as that franchise quarterback who wins you a Super Bowl and that you look at as a great quarterback or consistently a quarterback that is a top 10 quarterback in the league. Now, don't take anything away from Derek Carr last year. He led that team through a ton of adversity that you couldn't even imagine. And a lot of people thought that conversation was going to go away because what he proved. But just because you play well down the stretch, or just because you've had one MVP quality season from a few years ago, that does not mean you're guaranteed anything in this league. It does not mean that you are the starting quarterback for the next decade or the next 5 years with the Las Vegas Raiders. And also, yes, they made a financial commitment to him this offseason, but there's a lot of outs. To have a brand new contract that next year, the dead cap be $5 million, then the year after that, $3 million, and the year after that, basically $2 million, that is very easy to move on from a quarterback that you like, but you don't love. And we've seen that trend in the quarterback market where we used to say, oh, dead cap, like you have $20, $30, $40 million in dead cap. It used to be unprecedented to move that player because you'd be putting yourself in such a deep hole. But we've seen teams like the Eagles do it. We've seen teams like the LA Rams do it. And look at where they're at right now. The Eagles got rid of Carson Wentz. They drafted Jalen Hurts. The Eagles right now are a Super Bowl contender. The Rams got rid of Jared Goff, who got them in a Super Bowl, and then they won a Super Bowl the first year they moved off of him to go get Matthew Stafford. And you look at this Raiders team is underachieving. This Raiders team has been failing this year. This Raiders team is 0-3, and I don't see it turning around for this year. Their next two games, Denver and Kansas City, at best, they're going to split those two games. But I don't see this Raiders team, who I thought could be a playoff team and was going to be a playoff team before the season did commence. It would be tough at this point to get to 10 wins. And you're going to need to get to 10 wins if you're going to want to go contend for a wild card spot inside the AFC. And I look at this Raiders squad. Yeah, you have pieces. Davante Adams is a stud. Hunter Renfro is a good player. Darren Waller got to catch a football last week, but he's the top five tight end in the league. But other than that, you don't have a franchise quarterback. You don't have an offensive line. And you have a defense that needs some talent. But can the Raiders quickly fix this? Yes, but they got to be aggressive and they got to think outside the box. I'm not telling you that Derek Carr is absolutely going to be off the roster after this season. But I do believe this offseason, you are going to see a shift in the thinking about Derek Carr as a franchise quarterback. Because a lot of people thought when they gave him that 3-year contract extension, new regime, new GM, new head coach, that meant that Derek Carr was going nowhere. And he was going to be the quarterback in Las Vegas. They bring in his best bud in Davante Adams. But really, that coaching staff doesn't have any emotional attachment to him. And financially, it's very easy with the way that the dead cap is allocated and the outs of the contract to either trade Derek Carr or just outright release him. And you can't tell me that Derek Carr, even though he had a good year last year, is a guy that you're going to look at consistently as being a Super Bowl contending quarterback or a franchise QB. And if the Raiders have a down year this year, which it looks like it's going to be the case at 0-3, they could be picking in the top 10, top 15 of the draft. And if you're in the top 10, if you're in the top 15, and let's say you're not in the top 5 or 6 picks, 7 picks, you could then easily move up from, let's say, 11 or 12 to get inside the top 5, and you could keep Carr for one more season. Don't have to put that quarterback, that young quarterback, Stroud, Levis, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, whoever it is, on the field right away. And then maybe you get something back on the trade market for Carr, or you just flat out release him. But I don't see Derek Carr being the quarterback for the Raiders through the duration of this contract, which would be concluding at the end of the 2025 season. And if he doesn't find a way to turn this around this year, you could guarantee it that Josh McDaniels and the new general manager, David Ziegler, are going to start to think to move on from Derek Carr and set up the departure of Derek Carr from the Las Vegas Raiders. And I know everyone's first thought's going to be, well, how is Davante Adams going to take that? Because Davante Adams wanted to go to Las Vegas for many reasons. One, he wanted to get closer to home. One, he wanted it to be easier for his family to go to games. But also, he's a big-time fan and friend of Derek Carr because Derek Carr played his college football with him at Fresno State. But just because you have that friendship, we see friendship and business collide all the time. And if the organization moves on from Derek Carr, yeah, Devontae Adams could be annoyed. But where are you going? You're going to be demanding out of Las Vegas? You're going to be asking for a trade? I guess he could. But if you're being honest and you're Devontae Adams, you can't tell me that Derek Carr is going to go win you a Super Bowl in Las Vegas. And doesn't that matter to you? Some players it does. Some players it does not. Some players say, yeah, I care about winning. And you know it's not their top priority. But that's the kind of decisions and discussions that a new regime are going to eventually have. And I'm not blaming this all on Derek Carr, that Derek Carr stinks. I'm not saying that. And there's excuses to be made, offensive line, defense. But how many excuses are we going to give Derek Carr? And yeah, Derek Carr played his ass off last year. But with the season on the line, he didn't make the throws that were necessary up against Cincinnati Bengals. It's just a matter of the fact. So I don't think Derek Carr, and I know we have this conversation every year and he's still there, which is amazing, but just because he signed that contract extension and just because he's there under contract through 2025, it doesn't mean he'll actually be starting through that 2025 season. At this point, I would be stunned if he makes it through the duration of the contract because there's no attachment from this new regime. And also, he's not going to do enough to make you think that you have your guy. So I actually got to give credit to the Raiders, even though they're 0-3, for the way that they structured this contract. Ryan, are you with me? And if you're listening right now, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, you want to sound off on this? Do you think Derek Carr is going to make it through the remaining years on his contract in Las Vegas, which would be through 2025? This looks as clear as day to me that the end may not be this offseason, but I only see him playing at max 2 more years with the Las Vegas Raiders, including this season as being part of those 2 years.
I mean, I'm with you because it's hard to, you know, especially you got to remember too, like this is a regime that obviously did not draft Derek Carr, did not pick Derek Carr.
They gave him a BS extension. That's
they
it.
Didn't. And if they panic or, you know, if time's short, the first thing to make a change is the quarterback.
And you also have to remember where Josh McDaniels is coming from. Josh McDaniels has been in the penthouse with quarterback play, having his guy, Tom Brady, and the last time he was a head coach, and hey, McDaniels got to take some blame here too. He has not been good through the first 3 games, but the last time he got an opportunity to be a head coach, which was an unmitigated disaster in Denver, he didn't really have a quarterback, and he just did a good job with Mac Jones. So you're going to tell me a new GM and a coach that hasn't been a head coach in 10 to 12 years isn't going to try to want to get their own guy, whether that's via the draft or whether that is via trade, with how often now quarterbacks are traded, especially the last 2-3 years when you've seen guys like Stafford get traded or Russell Wilson get traded or Deshaun Watson get traded. Derek Carr, this is the way you say it. He's a guy. He's a good quarterback, but he's not the guy. And when you don't have the guy at the quarterback position in the NFL, you're always looking to upgrade that spot. And I don't think Carr could do enough this year to not at least have this new regime start thinking about moving on, whether it's this offseason or drafting a guy this year when you have a down year to eventually set up the departure of Derek Carr. We'll get Kurt Warner's thoughts on this when he comes on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. And we head out to the guest line right now. Always is a treat to talk to my next guest. He is a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner. You could also always check him out on the NFL Network as he does a great job as an analyst. And you could see Kurt Sunday on NFL Game Day kickoff at 7 a.m. Eastern, leading up to Vikings and Saints at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Kurt Warner, how you been?
I'm good, Zach. How are you, man?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. It's been a while since P.J. Walker was the quarterback at Temple, and now we have a quarterback again in Elijah Warner. The kid's looking great.
Thank you. It's been a fun start, and they're in the process of trying to build something there or rebuild something there, and it's been fun to see EJ get out there, and I think he's brought a spark, and he's played really, really well early on, and I think things are exciting there, and it's a process, and they all know that with the first year head coach, but I like the way they're doing things, and it's been fun for EJ to be a part of it.
Well, it must be awesome for you not only to see your son play the quarterback position, but then you also have Cade Warner at Kansas State, who just had a big time victory up against Oklahoma. It's got to be neat for you.
It's awesome. I mean, when I obviously have a passion and love for the game, and been able to, coach my boys and help them chase after their passion as it's developed over the years. And, to have two kids playing Division I college football and fulfilling their dream and having a chance to be on the field and having an impact on a program, it's so cool. It makes weekends busy, and it makes Saturdays tough to try to make sure that we see both of them play and split our time between the two of them. But it's awesome because, again, they enjoy the heck out of it. And, all you can ask for when you're a high school kid that's dreaming about playing is having an opportunity to have an impact. And both of them have done that, albeit early for EJ in their careers. And it's been cool as mom and dad to sit back and enjoy that.
I felt like I was your PR person this past weekend at Lincoln Financial Field, even though you weren't there, because everyone keeps on asking me, when is Kurt coming to a game? And I go, guys, he's got a very busy schedule with the NFL Network.
It's tough because, our older son, Cade at K-State, is in his last year. And so coming into the season, it was kind of like, okay, we're gonna go to Cade's games or most of Cade's games. We kind of assume EJ probably won't play a lot as a freshman, maybe be redshirted, all that stuff that you kind of think. And so our schedule was really designed around K-State games. And then, EJ being inserted there as the starter in week three, that kind of changed things. And now we're kind of bouncing back and forth and going, you got to remember, I got to get to L.A. For a 6 a.m. show on Sunday mornings. And so some of the scheduling has a lot to do with that. We're excited. We're going to get a chance to go down to Memphis this week and watch EJ play down there. But, it's going to kind of be back and forth. I still assume we'll probably get to more K-State games this year, and then we'll be spending a lot more time in Philly in the coming years.
Well, that sounds good to me. Kurt Warner here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. You get more nervous for your kids' games
when you
were a player?
You don't even have to finish the question. It's not even close. And it's even harder.
Your wife probably too, right?
I think a little bit, but not quite like dad. I can't eat. We've gone to a couple sports bars to watch some of the games, and I can't eat until the game's about over or it's out of the balance of what's going on. And probably more so for EJ than Cade, with Cade being a wide receiver and EJ being a quarterback. You kind of hang on every drop back and every throw, just because how volatile the position is and how You know, every play you can go from being a GOAT, you know, capital G to a GOAT with a little g, you know, on one throw. And, you know, people hang on everything. And so, you know, so it's hard on both of them. I'm always nervous because you just want your kids to be able to put their best foot forward and have an impact. And the plays that are there to be made, you want them to make them, even though you know that nobody plays this game perfect. You want that for your kids. And so, yes, I'm way, way more nervous in those situations where I have absolutely no control. And I just have to watch them do their thing. But at the same time, it's more rewarding to know that they're out there doing their thing and having success, and it has nothing to do with, you know, with me or us. It's just them going out and thriving. So it's got its highs and lows, but like I said, it's just so much fun to watch them succeed.
Talking to the Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, you think Devontae Adams right now is saying, "Man, I miss Aaron Rodgers"?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, as much as, oh, you know, I miss Aaron because Derek's not playing well. You know, I think they're going through some growing pains, and I think they're trying to figure this out. And you know, it's a tough transition to go to a new offense and to have a new coach and trying to fit all of that stuff together. And so, you know, I believe they're going to work it out. You know, with that being said, I think it's like most things. You know, we always think the grass is greener for some reason when we go somewhere else. And you know, very seldom does it get greener than, you know, Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's that good, and he makes guys better, and he can do so many things with the football that, you know, I think there's always, you know, a little bit of remorse going, man, I was playing with one of the greatest to ever play, and you don't really appreciate the little things that he can do that other guys can't do, even with other great players like a Derek Carr. And so, you know, I'm sure there's a little bit more appreciation for Aaron Rodgers every day you're not with him. But I do believe that, you know, Derek Carr is a really good quarterback, and I think they're going to find their success over the next few years. They're just going through some of those growing pains right now.
Yeah, because if they end up being really bad this year and they're 0-3, and if they can't regroup and they're picking in the top 10, the top 15, I'm thinking maybe they do draft a quarterback, Kurt. I know they just gave him a new contract, but that dead cap is so low, and you know how it is when a new regime comes in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, I think we always have to be careful because, you know, there's the one thing that we have to look at when we look at franchise quarterbacks, and, you know, we have to understand there's only one Tom Brady. There's only one Aaron Rodgers. There's only one Lamar Jackson. I mean, there's certain guys that are just rare beasts, and they separate themselves from everybody else. And then everybody else is kind of fighting for seconds. Like, okay, we need to find a guy that's, you know, at least right below that, because there's very few that are in that category. And so I think we always have to be careful when you have a guy, you know, we'll just use this example, like Derek Carr, who's a really good starting quarterback in the National Football League. And you've got to decide, okay, is there another Aaron Rodgers or another Lamar Jackson out there? Is there a guy that's better than Derek Carr out there that we can get? Or is it simply that Derek's a good quarterback? Maybe he's not that, you know, that top tier, and now it's more important for us to build around him so he's got the pieces that he can maximize his talent. We put a better team around him, and now we've got a chance to succeed. So, you know, those are the questions that are really tough, and I always kind of use the Cincinnati example, is that Cincinnati had Andy Dalton for a decade, and Andy Dalton was a really, really good starting quarterback, and a quarterback that changed the culture in Cincinnati and got them to the playoffs numerous times over his time there, just didn't win a lot of playoff games. So he was great for the time being as they were building it, and then at one point they said, okay, but Andy can only take us this far. We believe we're in a position to get us another guy that can take us that step further. And now we let Andy go, and we go get Joe, and now Joe takes us to a Super Bowl. And that's the dilemma that a lot of these teams face, is there a Joe Burrow out there, and has this with our quarterback run its course and got us to where we want to be? You know, at this point, we've rebuilt this thing, and we've got to the playoffs, and we're right on the cusp. But we don't believe this guy can take us there, and we've got to find a guy to do that. And so I think there's a lot of teams out there that kind of teeter back and forth with that situation and have to at some point pull the plug and think that, you know, if there's another guy that's out there that they think is better. But in the meantime, say, hey, we're willing to have this level of success right now as we're rebuilding this thing and building this culture.
Kurt Warner here with us. Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa are both off to really impressive starts at 3-0. At the end of this season, how do you think we're talking about the Eagles and the Dolphins?
You know, I think we're talking about the Eagles in that mix of teams that can win the NFC. I just think they're too talented across the board, have so many ways that they can beat you. I look around the NFC and, you know, everybody else has got their issues that I think we're talking about them in the mix. Ultimately, it will come down to Jalen Hurts continuing to play the way that he's played up to this point, and that's, you know, primarily through the air. We know what he's going to be as a playmaker. We know what he's going to be as a quarterback that can run their zone reads and do that sort of thing. It always comes to the point where they force you to stay in the pocket, and you have to beat teams in the pocket usually when you get to the playoffs. And so will he make that progression where he can win some games in the pocket against really good teams? That'll be the ultimate question, because I think they're talented enough and good enough on both sides of the ball to be in the mix. On the other side, I still have some questions about, where Miami will be at the end of the year. You know, we've seen some great moments. You know, we obviously saw the great second half against the Ravens, you know, where they scored 35 points. But the first, you know, three halves of football they played in the season, they scored 27 points. You know, last week they scored 21 points. You know, so it's like we've seen some really explosive and great moments. But I don't know if we've seen it, you know, as consistently as we need to for them to be in the mix, especially in the AFC, come playoff time. Now, it doesn't mean they can't beat anybody, but playoff time, you got to beat good teams 3 weeks in a row. And you've got to be able to outscore them, as well as out-defense them at different times. And so, although we've seen some good things and we've seen progress from Tua, I'm just one of those guys that goes, okay, but I want to see it more. I want to see what you did in that second half against the Ravens, you know, on a weekly basis. I want to see you have the ability to be explosive and put two or three touchdowns on the board in a quarter numerous times, and we haven't seen that. So we can't just hang on that one half and say that's who they are, which I feel like we're kind of doing that right now. They've got room to grow in terms of efficiency and explosiveness on a consistent half-to-half, week-to-week basis.
How about the Jaguars? That division's not good. You have a competent coach there on the professional level with Doug Peterson now. Can that team win the AFC South this year?
I think they can. I still, you know, as good as Trevor's been at times, I still need more consistency there. I still look at this Indianapolis Colts team, and I know, you know, they very easily could be 0-3 right now. And Matt Ryan isn't playing great football. Their offensive line's not playing as well as I thought they would. But I do believe they're going to settle in, and they've got a really good defense. And, you know, if that offensive line comes together, they're going to be a really formidable team. And so, as much as I like what Doug Peterson has done down there, and I like the way that Trevor Lawrence has made that jump from year one to year two, I still just need to see a little bit more consistency from him, you know, making the layups, making the throws that he's supposed to make. But I do believe they're going to be in the mix. They got guys flying around. They got guys making plays. Their offense seems to really fit Trevor and simplify things for him, and he's a very talented quarterback. So I don't think this is a fluke, what we've seen early in the season. I just need to see the quarterback play be consistent 1 week to the next week to the next week, which we've kind of seen some ups and downs in that regard, you know, up to this point.
Matthew Stafford, Kurt Warner, has not played great to start off the year. They are 2-1. I know he was dealing with that elbow injury in the offseason. Is that a concern for you at all, or do you think as the season goes on he'll find his groove?
I have to believe he's going to find his groove. I mean, it's the same offense. They still got some of the similar pieces. That I think he's going to get better and better. And I think he's going to be a guy that can be around in the end. You always wonder when guys have these great runs and Super Bowl runs as a quarterback that we haven't necessarily seen throughout their career. You know, you sit back and go, okay, was that one of those special magical seasons? You know, Matt Ryan when they went to the Super Bowl, Cam Newton when they went to the Super Bowl, or, is that guy the guy we're going to see every single year and every single game moving forward? And I think that's still the question with Matthew Stafford, is that we still see the great moments. We saw those in Detroit, but we need to see the consistency of play like he showed, especially during the playoffs last year. And so I'm still kind of waiting to see is, you know, was that just a turn of the corner and I need to be in a different place and now I become that quarterback that we thought I could become? Or was that just, you know, hey, everything played out and we played really well and the team came together and we made a run, but then he kind of levels out a little bit, you know, with some of the things we've seen and kind of the ups and downs that we've seen in the past.
Two more for Kurt Warner, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, before we let you run. Curious, it hasn't been great through the first 3 weeks of the season for the Broncos and the Cardinals. What do you expect out of Denver and Arizona the rest of the way?
You know, I don't really know. You know, it's looked so ugly at times for both of those teams, especially offensively, that I don't really know. I don't know what they're building off of right now. You know, a lot of teams, when you get to week three, you kind of say, okay, this is who they are. This is what they're going to kind of hang on to, and this is what they're going to be able to build around. And I really haven't seen that. You know, I mean, obviously the Cardinals can build around Kyler doing Kyler stuff. But it's just hard to win, you know, expecting, you know, Kyler to just have to run around and make every play for you. You got to find a way to make the game easier and, you know, and develop an offense that he feels comfortable with, that you can go out and execute on a weekly basis. And I haven't seen that. And then I watched Denver, and Denver's kind of all over the place to me. I just got done watching the tape, and I questioned some of the concepts they have. Russell doesn't look comfortable with what he's seeing. He's moving out of the pocket a little bit too fast in a lot of situations. And again, I don't think he's at a stage in his career where you can just expect him to make those 15 plays a game that he made in Seattle and that to be, you know, what carries you along with that good defense. They're just going to have to get more efficient offensively. But I just don't see where it's coming from or a path in these first three games that excite me.
Kurt Warner, last one for you. We got a bunch of great matchups this weekend, but everyone loves to talk about the quarterbacks, as you know. Lamar going up against Josh Allen, Brady going up against Mahomes. How do you see those two games playing on out?
You know, the first one, we talk about Lamar and Josh Allen. And, you know, both of those guys are so explosive. They're so built on the big play. I think that's going to dictate a lot of it, is who makes the most big plays in this game. And then maybe the flip side of it is that, you know, both of them at times can get a little bit loose with their technique. You know, we saw that last week, Josh Allen and that two-point conversion. That's a throw that he normally makes, but his technique got away from him and he misses one of those easy throws. You know, Lamar against Miami had a couple opportunities, I think, kind of put that game away and missed some things technique-wise late. And so I think those are going to be the two factors is, you know, who makes the most big plays. And then, you know, are there times when they get away from things to the point where they miss an opportunity to maybe win this football game? On the other side of it, you know, I think the Chiefs, you know, are a team offensively that seems more in rhythm to me than the Bucks. Bucks are kind of up and down and all over, and Brady's good when things kind of play out like he wants them to, but a lot of things seem really hard for their offense right now. And so I think this is going to be a tight football game. The Bucks defense is really good and gives you some different looks. So I believe this is one of those games that's going to come down to more, you know, Patrick Mahomes and that offense, can they kind of hit their rhythm as we've seen at times this year, although they didn't last week, against that Bucs defense? And whoever really wins that battle, I think, wins this game.
He is the Pro Football Hall of Famer in Kurt Warner. Make sure you check him out. NFL Network does a great job as an analyst, and you could see Kurt Sunday at NFL Game Day kickoff at 7 a.m. Eastern, leading up to Vikings Saints at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Kurt, good luck on the calls this week, and also to your two boys. Appreciate the time.
All right, thanks a lot, Zach.
There he is, Kurt Warner, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get an update in. When we come on back, we will discuss a little quote from Boomer Esiason about a new team for Saquon Barkley. We'll get into that.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about. like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
That always makes me laugh. It's not that old. That was right before the start of the season. But that's one of my favorite rejoins. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio when the PR handler was not happy with me, even though they told me they didn't say, hey, you couldn't ask about it. And that was a big story at the time. Happened a few days before, so we had to bring it up. But anyway, I always get a kick out of that one. By the way, I just want to send my well wishes for today, the next few days, and however long it takes to recover for everyone that's going through this hurricane right now. And best of luck to everyone. I want to start by saying that I do have a but here coming, hot take, Hickey. And you may be wondering, like, what is the but? What is the negative thing that Zach Gelb is going to say about the hurricane? I don't think anyone's going to get offended by this. I think one of the dumbest things we do in media is when we put these news reporters out in the storm to get a live hit as they get pelted by everything that's going on during the hurricane. What is the purpose of that? To show people, like, hey, don't go outside to get the good shot? You can look out your window. You know what's going on. If I was running a news station, I would be all about the safety of my employees while still giving good coverage. It makes zero sense to have some guy or gal standing outside while a hurricane is going on. That has never made sense to me, hot take, Hickey. You kind of like it. That's what you're going to say.
I will say, I do appreciate Jim Cantore, boots on the ground, toughing it out.
We're outside here in the hurricane. The rain's coming down. My hat just fell off. I can't stand right now, guys. This is really bad. This, stay inside. Stay off the road. Like, what?
You bring up and make a very good point. You can have cameras placed, and there are plenty of shots where it's just a still camera there depicting the wind and the rain and the damage. You don't need someone outside telling you, hey, there's a hurricane here. The wind is blowing and the rain is coming down.
The water's up to my knee. I can barely stand right now. I may not make it, but I'm at least giving you the news coverage right now. And when the storm is that bad, most likely the power's out. So, yeah, you have a generator or something like that. Your cell phone lasts forever long. It does, and you don't need to connect to Wi-Fi necessarily with data and all that. So if you're watching it online or something, but, like, how many people, when a hurricane like that is going on in the year of 2022, is really relying on the TV news station to give them an update about the hurricane? Why don't you just simply go online and read an article or check the weather report, or I don't know. Maybe just look outside your window, Hickey.
Well, for us here and most of the country, if you're not in Florida, where the actual hurricane is, hard to look out the window and say, oh, I wonder what's going on.
That is fair, but Google, I don't need the news anchor telling me necessarily live on the scene. You know, if you do it in a studio, I'm fine. That's more than acceptable. I don't need to see the person outside during a hurricane. I've never got that when it comes to the news industry.
You're not wrong.
Reporting live as the water is up to my neck as I try to give you a report here. And now they're telling me I should go inside. One of those guys was down on one knee. He was getting blown over today. The storm was kicking his ass. I felt bad for the guy. You know, the news director that says, oh, we actually care about our employees, stay inside. And I get it. People turn into the news, obviously, to get informed. Duh, hot take of the year. And during COVID, when I went back with my parents, and maybe this is more so with older people than people our age, anytime I watch the news, I find it very depressing. Extremely depressing. And I could just get that information on Twitter. I could get that information by going to a website. I can't make it through an entire 30-minute newscast, hour newscast. Like when I moved back in with my parents for 3 months at the start of COVID, how my mom and dad would watch the news every night. And there was nothing to do at that point. I get it. But I go, how do you guys watch this stuff? And I don't care if you watch Fox, CNN. I don't get political. I try to stay neutral and just make my own opinion and pick who I think is the best candidate. But how people would watch the news like that every day. Like my parents religiously, Hickey. They watch the news every day. I cannot watch the news every day. It drives you nuts.
It is very depressing. You're right. There's
especially
not a lot
bias
of
it is too.
Good news right now going on.
And then there's some things that they try to sway your opinions on matters. And it's like, just give me the facts. Anyway, Boomer Esiason, our quarterback, does a great job right down the hall on WFAN and CBS Sports Network. Always catch him NFL Today. He was on Up and Adams. That is Kay Adams' new show. And Boomer Esiason suggests that the Buffalo Bills should trade for Saquon Barkley.
If Saquon Barkley continues to do what he's doing, if he's not traded by the trade deadline, and that's a serious thing that I would think that the Buffalo Bills would love to look at and make it the Giants possibly. Well, why would the Giants keep him? I mean, especially if you can get a reasonably good draft pick. Now, there'll be a compensatory pick for him if he leaves via free agency next year. The highest that could be would be in the third round, assuming that they don't replace him with some other sort of free agent and spend the same kind of money. You know, that the way that they do that is kind of interesting in the offseason. But,
right.
You know, if the Bills would love to have a top-end running back and give the Giants a second or a third-round draft pick, wouldn't you? You'd have to consider it if you're the Giants.
We talked about this yesterday in terms of the Bills needing to fix their run game because they're asking too much out of Josh Allen right now. And they did just draft a running back in the second round, James Cook, Dalvin Cook's brother. I know he had a fumble week one, but we'll see what he turns out to be. Devin Motor Singletary, it seems like he always goes on a 5 or 6 week run at some point in the season where he turns out to be good. But if you're Buffalo, don't you try to channel your inner Les Snead and just go F all those draft picks when you're in a win now mode? And I would give up a second or a third round draft pick, even with Saquon being on an expiring contract. And if you're the Giants and you can get a second or a third round draft pick back for Saquon Barkley, who's been disappointing, we know how great he could be, and we've seen the flashes this year, but more times than not, this guy is usually hurt. So if Saquon ends up staying healthy this year on a contract year after playing 2 games in 2020, 13 games in 2021, and he's only played one full season since getting into the league in 2018, if this guy has a monster year, he's going to want monster money because we know how people think about Saquon Barkley and they call him a generational talent. And yeah, the Giants with a new regime, the Giants still, I know they're 2-1, 2 years away. There's going to have to be a lot of revamping and changing with this roster. It would kind of be crazy for a team that's not in win now mode to commit significant money and make a long-term commitment to a running back. But if you look like a team like Buffalo, you're a piece away. Why would you want to take that risk? I think this is a no-brainer, Ryan. If I'm Buffalo and you have that relationship too, Joe Shane coming from Buffalo, Brian Daboll coming from Buffalo, Brandon Bean, those guys and Brandon, they have that relationship for their time in Buffalo. You got to think a deal would be able to get done. It would make sense for both sides. Help both out.
And the Bills need a running back. Take less pressure and the load off of Josh Allen. So it's almost a necessity for Buffalo.
That's a good one. If I'm the Giants, I would kind of capitalize now when Saquon is hot. You wonder what that sends, though, the message to your locker room, because Saquon is really liked. But you're building a new culture, you're building a new regime, and you know we're close to winning. I would trade Saquon to Buffalo in a second and not even think twice about it.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.